Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week for your listening eargasm pleasure. And I have no guest today, so we're going to go into some articles, which incidentally, I will listen back to a couple of shows when I've got guests and when I've got myself and just reading out articles. And sometimes I just get really on a roll when I'm reading these articles, and it should be fun. Or it should be fun. So tune in, ladies and gentlemen, and also get other people to tune in. 10 a.m. Local New Zealand time is the time that we go to air 5 days a week. That's Tuesday through Saturday in New Zealand, Monday through Friday in the USSA, and 5 till 7 Central, 3 till 5 Pacific, 6 till 8 Eastern, for those of you in the former Soviet Republic of the United States, and also for those of you in the Uber Kingdom, Uber because of the Saxe Coburg Gotha German influence, it is 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. 5 days a week. So, into the first article now. Cunliffe wants TPP draft in the public. Now, for those of you who don't know, Cunliffe is the going to be the new opposition leader of the Labour Party to challenge the current national government run by Wall Street bankster John Key. Don't know much about David Cunliffe. He's technically the MP for my area here. I should probably walk down to his office and find out. But I don't think he's going to tell me that he used to work for Wall Street or used to, work at the UN and throw mercenaries all over the place like the last Labour leader did. So let's just find out what this article's about. As one of his first acts as leader of the opposition, David Cunliffe has called on the government to make public the draft of the Trans-Pacific Partnership Negotiations, the TPP. This is, of course, ladies and gentlemen, the partnership agreement, which is more or less kind of like the North American Free Trade Agreement, which kind of brings about the North American Union, or at least the first baby steps in that particular agreement. And this one here involves the United States too, but it also involves a whole bunch of Pacific Rim countries, which part of the New World Order globalist agenda is to have what they call a Oceania plate block of countries. So you'll have the American Union, the European Union, the Asian Union, the African Union, and the Oceania Union. And they'll probably have some kind of South American Union too, I would have thought. Maybe that would be included in the American Union. But anyway, the way that they get these unions into place, first of all, is they say, oh, it's about trade, it's about free trade, it's about making money, it's about having more freedoms and so on and so forth. And so naturally everybody signs on to them, and there's a whole bunch of things in these pieces of legislation which nobody'd even heard about, which basically destroys your freedom, destroys your ability to trade, especially freely. In his first full press conference, Mr. Cunliffe challenged the government to, quote, have the courage of its convictions. Look, I don't think that any member of the National Party has any courage, nor do they have any convictions, because they buy off the judges, and put the negotiating draft into the public domain so it can make up its own mind. And wait for it, but Prime Minister John Key says that won't happen. You know why all of the stuff is secret? Because if the public knew, even had a suspicion of what was really in this document, nobody would want it apart from ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery like John Key. Quote, we've given people a broad indication of the mandate and the government is sticking to that mandate. Look, the only mandate John Key would ever have is after he legalised gay marriage. I mean, it's just that simple. I'm never going to sign New Zealand up to a deal unless I believe it's in New Zealand's best interest to do that, he says. What, like getting us into massive amounts of foreign debt, passing draconian spy legislation, taking away everybody's freedoms, cutting funding to virtually every single social program that stops people from turning into criminals? Yeah, I think that's in the best interest of New Zealand, Mr. Key. Instead, during the final analysis of the deal will become public and will be ratified through Parliament. Yeah, right, as if the parliamentarians ever actually read the bills that they passed. And let me guess, it'll probably happen around Christmas time when virtually nobody's there, federal reserves in 1913 style. Mm-hmm. Mr. Key says the negotiation is so far pretty positive, but more work is needed. Yeah, pretty positively going to destroy the frickin' country and any vestige of freedom. You know what the interesting thing is? If you pass a... it doesn't matter, actually. If you have an advertising campaign, as we've had in New Zealand many times, you know, buy American-made, buy New Zealand-made, buy Australian-made, you know these kind of campaigns that the government kind of throws up so you can actually support your local economy so that the foreigners don't just take all your money and enslave your entirety of your population, you know? Well, that'll be illegal under the TPPA agreement. Not necessarily illegal, you can still do it, but as soon as you do it, you actually get taken to the World Court, which the corporations own, because you can't threaten their business, right? That's the plan here, to destroy all the local industry. And this is the reason why the New World Order is going to work very, very well, is because nobody will ever be able to have any form of national sovereignty, because sovereignty requires you to be independent. The New World Order wants us to all be interdependent, which means they want to get us into dependence, all right? That's basically the end of the frickin' story, and that's what this legislation is really about, and that's why it's being negotiated in secret, because nobody would want it, as I mentioned earlier. The TPP is a proposed free trade agreement between a number of countries, including New Zealand, Australia, the US, Japan, Singapore, Chile, and Vietnam. While Mr. Cunliffe says he still needs a, quote, detailed briefing on the negotiations, and the party has not seen the draft, he understood the concept of what the partnership could bring. There are some real fish hooks with it. These include intellectual property issues and investor and state relations, he says. Mr. Key says the deal could be worth billions to the country's economy and also provide more jobs for Kiwis. Have you ever heard somebody who winds up making a whole bunch of people unemployed saying that I'm doing this to create more jobs? Anybody vote for Barack Obama? I will create more jobs in the economy. Now, there's 40 million people on food stamps plus, you know, well over half of the American population is receiving some kind of benefit from the government. You're just making you completely and utterly dependent on the government. That's what they say when they say creating new jobs. It's creating new jobs for police, bureaucrats, scumbags to manage over the rebel slave scum, more or less. That's my assessment of the situation. I could be wrong. He believes the unions could sway Labor's position on the proposal deal because they helped decide the new leader and they, quote, don't necessarily like free trade agreements. You're goddamn right they don't. quote, that could have implications on the way they handle the policy. If they do, it will be quite sad. Oh, it'll be really sad if we don't get to enslave the country to the New World War. Oh, the poor, poor nation of New Zealand. It just needs enslavement. It just needs its national sovereignty to be completely violated and absolutely destroyed by ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery. It'd be so sad if that opportunity was just missed out on, you know. I mean, the term dodged a bullet might come to mind. I don't know. He would prefer if both major parties were in, quote, lockstep. Oh, my God, I can't believe they come out and say it like this over the negotiations because, quote, we can all see the benefits. Well, here's the thing. I believe Paul Carruthers told me this the other day, that he's waiting to see if Cunliffe does certain things, if he's elected, you know, and he's willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, like expose the TPPA, maybe investigate the South Canterbury finance collapses where one of the wealthiest financiers in the country who broke no laws and was doing no dodgy dealings had all of his assets and everything stolen by the Serious Fraud Office and then sold off to their mates in the private sector at pennies on the dollar kind of thing. It's called a smash and grab job, okay? He wants them to investigate that. There's also the Kim.com thing where they had the FBI tell the New Zealand police. How the frack can the FBI order the New Zealand police around? I'm still scratching my head over that one if we're not in a new world order already, you know. And there's a number of other things, you know, state asset sales, reversing the GCSB bill and whatever. He says if David Cunliffe reverses all of those things, then, you know, my benefit of the doubt would have been rewarded. And I said to him, cynically, mind you, no. The answer to all of those will be no. He'll pay lip service to them until such a time as we've elected him and given him all the power, and then that's when the tone will change. Okay? Sorry. It might sound cynical of me, but I've been fooled too many times to be fooled again. It's just that simple. Right? I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anybody who thinks that voting for the Labour Party is a brilliant idea. It's not. I mean, they say it right in here, or at least this is how I interpret it. He would prefer if both major lock parties were in, quote, lockstep. Becomes pretty clear that they have been all along. You have a look at their policies. There's not really too much difference. So same in the United States. They're in lockstep. They've all got the same lobbyists. Monsanto chief executives and so on and so forth. It's freaking nuts. Moving on to lighter news. Billy Connolly has cancer surgery. Now, I do think that cancer is a big thing, all right? It makes a lot of money too, doesn't it? Especially when celebrities get cancer. Oof. They got a lot of money to drain out of their bank accounts, don't they? Be quite nice. Experts say being diagnosed with Parkinson's disease doesn't need to immediately impact on his works, reports Liza Mziba. Lizo Mziba. Mm. Sounds like some kind of meal of some description. Excuse me, sir, would you like a Lizo Mziba with that? Well, yes, very nice. Does it go with the red wine? Yes, it does, sir. Yes, it does. Comedian and actor Billy Connolly has had surgery for prostate cancer and has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. Parkinson's disease, yeah. I remember Michael J. Fox? He was like the kingpin of the 80s films and so on and so forth, and he got Parkinson's after he got all those Pepsi, particularly Diet Pepsi endorsements. it's really sad. And people still don't know what causes it. Isn't it interesting how nobody ever talks about what causes any disease, and nobody ever talks about curing any disease either? Don't you think if your profession was disease, that knowing what causes it and knowing what cures it would be the first frickin' thing you would look at? No, apparently not. Apparently not. Because you're going to make some money. And if you cure a disease, You can no longer make money off of selling people a treatment that doesn't work. And if you tell people what causes a disease, they'll avoid it. And then you won't get any money of treating them with drugs that don't freaking work. The operation was a total success, and Billy is fully recovered, his spokeswoman said. The 70-year-old Scott began working as a welder in the Glasgow shipyards, but quit in the late 1960s to become a folk singer before turning to stand-up. He has also starred in films including the Oscar-nominated Mrs. Brown. Billy Connolly recently underwent minor surgery in America after being diagnosed with the very early stages of prostate cancer, his spokeswoman said. In addition, Billy has been assessed as having the initial symptoms of Parkinson's disease, for which he is receiving appropriate treatment, which will probably exacerbate the situation, because that's what they do. They say, all right, you've got this disease. And you go, really? Have you got any proof of that? And they go, well, no, not really. It was really just a theory, and these tests could really mean anything. Oh, okay. Well, give me the treatment then for something that might not exist in the first place. And then lo and behold, oh, my God, I'm starting to get all these really bad symptoms. And they go, yeah, it was the Parkinson's. It wasn't the drug we gave you. Well, it definitely wasn't that. You know, with the dodgy eyes side to side sort of thing. I love that. It's a sad, sick world we live in. I'm glad you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood show, because this is quite funny. She added the star would continue to work as normal. Quote, Billy has been assured by experts that the findings will in no way inhibit or affect his ability to work, and he will start filming a TV series in the near future, as well as undertaking an extensive theatrical tour of New Zealand in the new world. Yes! That'll be nice. Would love to see him if I'd had any money, but I don't. My sister might go and see him. She likes comedy and stuff like that. Who knows? She might buy me a ticket. It'd be nice. Steve Ford, chief executive at Parkinson's UK, said... Whoa. Chief executive at Parkinson's UK? Don't you get chief executive officers for corporations that make shockingly large amounts of money? Oh, wait, suddenly it makes sense. He said, many people with the right medication continue to live a full and active life with Parkinson's. Yeah, because they never get freaking cured. And you keep selling them stuff, which just masks all the symptoms as opposed to actually getting rid of the freaking problem. You scumbag. But for some, it can be life-changing, and it is vital that Billy gets the support he needs to live with this complex condition. It's complex because you don't understand it, because you don't know what causes it, and you don't know how to cure it. All right? That's the only reason why it's complex. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about business time. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week, Monday through Friday in the United States, Tuesday through Saturday in New Zealand. And let's go on to our next article now from OccupyCorporatism.com. New potential HIV vaccine could kill 2 million Americans. This is by Suzanne Posel at Occupy Corporatism. Scientists from the Vaccine and Gene Therapy Institute, VGTI, and the Oregon National Primate Research Center, the ONPRC, alongside other researchers, have published a study entitled Immune Clearance of Highly Pathogenic SIV Infection. What the hell does that mean? Regarding HIV and the simian version called SIV. Now, simian virus, all right, anybody know what this is? You know, ever heard of SV40? Might be bumbling around back there. Apparently, way back in the day, there was this chick called Dr. Mary, right? And the reason why she's Dr. Mary at such a very, very young age is she managed to create a cancer virus in a petri dish in her high school science lab. All right. She was approached by some very, very well-connected people indeed, who got her out of high school, put her into university, then got her out of university really quickly and put her into a lab in charge of all the people and things in order to create all these lab viruses, where she grew all the viruses of cancer and so on and so forth onto monkeys. And then they put all these viruses and these cancer-causing chemical sludge into vaccines. And presto, we have a cancer epidemic. That's SV40, that's simian virus 40, okay, it's monkey cancer, monkey cancer in a vaccine, in your bloodstream, boom, we have a cancer epidemic. Okay? Just wanted to get that out of the way. Acknowledging that HIV and SIV are, quote, similar, the researchers say this new vaccine they are devising could be a viable option for human HIV patients. About 75% of the population, mind you, which, if you did an HIV test on them, would test positive because it doesn't actually frickin' exist. Lewis Picker, professor at the VGTI, said, "It's always tough to claim eradication. There could always be a cell, which we didn't analyse, that has the virus in it, but for the most part was very stringent criteria. There was no virus left in the body of these monkeys." I wonder. By focusing on SIV-MAC-239, a more, quote, aggressive form of the virus, infected monkeys were expected to die within 2 years of infection. Using a vaccine based on the cytomegalovirus, which is a virus that's gone megalomaniacal, you know, a member of the herpes family. You know, just what I wonder is that like the partridge family? The herpes family? No? Okay. The researchers monitored how CMV ravages the body of the monkeys. CMV is one of the herpes viruses. The group of viruses includes the herpes simplex virus, the varicella zoster virus, which causes chickenpox and shingles. Yeah, I always thought shingles was something that you put on your roof. I was wrong. And Epstein-Barr virus, which causes infectious mononucleosis, also known as mono, which is incidentally what we use in talk radio as opposed to stereo. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, states that CMV, quote, is a common infection that is usually harmless. Once CMV is in a person's body, it stays there for life. Among every 100 adults in the United States, 50 to 80 are infected with CMV by the time they are 40 years old. That's probably because about 80% of the United States population have been vaccinated. Plus, actually more like 95%. I think there's about 5% of people who are smart enough in the first case to just go, no, you're not going to give my kids a vaccine. Oh, but it's the law. Really? Show me the law. Oh, we don't actually have a law. Okay, well then frack you. Okay, the vaccine was designed to assist the immune system while sweeping through the body to, quote, maintain an armed force that patrols all of the tissues of the body all the time indefinitely. Sounds almost like Homeland Security policy. It's Homeland Security for the blood. When monkeys were given the vaccine for SIV, the inoculation spread through the body fairly quickly, evidenced by the reaction in the body when monitored. Picker said it could be the fact that SIV is so pathogenic that this is the best you are ever going to get. There is a battle going on, and half the time the vaccine wins, and half the time it doesn't. A marketable vaccine could be made for humans based on the technique created to cure SIV. However, Picker explained, in order to make a human version, we have to make sure it is absolutely safe. We have now engineered a CMV virus which generates the same immune response but has been attenuated, modified to lose its virulence to the point where we think it is unequivocally safe. Really, an attenuated virus that is unequivocally safe. Okay. What's an oil and water adjuvant? Isn't that what they put in vaccines in order to attenuate the virus or something during the Gulf War and was actually linked and allegedly responsible for Gulf War syndrome? This is what they say is allegedly unequivocally safe and getting rid of the infection. What's the philosophy of a vaccine? Well, in order to protect you from a disease, we're going to give you a disease. It's kind of like protecting you from being struck in the head by a mallet, by hitting you in the head with a mallet. Does that sound insane to you? There's a reason why that is. It's because it's insane. Mm-hmm. That's about right. And what I also find very interesting is that, you know, people call it immunization, as if you don't develop an immune system until you've had a succession of needles stuck in your frickin' arm, which is ridiculous. Absolutely insane. Thus, study, according to Pickett, is proof that while they may not prevent the initial infection, they might lead to subsequent clearance rather than the establishment of chronic infection. Yeah, it's called a soft kill bioweapon, so that way down the track, out they come. And then you have to go to a doctor who will not tell you what caused it and not tell you what cured it, but keeps selling you drugs anyway. Sound familiar? It should do. because that's the medical industry in the in a nutshell. And that's precisely what causes all of these problems and sicknesses and death and so on and so forth, is the medical industry. They're the scum, okay? They're the dangerous ones. If you're really sick and stuff like that, you're kind of you're actually three times more likely to be killed by the medical system in New Zealand anyway than you are to die in a car crash. Isn't that interesting? Like, you're actually less likely to die on the ambulance on the way to the hospital than you are getting to the hospital safely. Anyway, by using CMV, Picker's team has endangered those who have a weakened immune system or a WIS. This would be persons who would be endangered by receiving this vaccination because CMV causes, quote, serious disease in those who have WIS. They're just not WIS it, is it? This includes infants and newborns, organ and marrow transplant recipients, cancer patients, patients receiving immunosuppressive drugs, and HIV-infected patients, which, are, as I mentioned earlier, is about 70% of the population because HIV is like a fake disease. Picker's CMV-based vaccine would endanger one out of every 150 children born with congenital CMV if this vaccine were to be added to the schedule of vaccine given to newborns. What's the schedule now? It's like 50-plus different toxic cancer-causing vaccines or something like that that you shove into an infant's frickin' bloodstream before 18 months? 50-plus. Autism rates like now, like 1 in 87. I think, like, about 5, 10 years ago, it used to be 1 in 187, and before that, it was, like, 1 in 1,000. Before that, it was, like, 1 in 10. You know, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And Dr. Russell Blaylock, who exposed the link between thimerosal mercury, which is the most potent neurotoxin known to man, and its connection with autism and vaccines and so on and so forth, he's been vindicated in court many times, and yet people who are... who pretend to have an interest in this. Here's the thing. You're either interested in this and you're interested in looking at the truth, especially the truth that doesn't actually agree with your already existing preconceived positions, or you're not interested in the truth and you're just a puppet of the establishment and you don't really care, all right? And you just want to insult everybody and call them a conspiracy theorist if they come out with this kind of information, all right? This translates to over 30,000 children annually who would die from CMV brought on by having received this vaccination. Hey, well, you know, there's 30,000 from one vaccine and you got 50 other vaccines. What's 30,000 times 50? You know, that's assuming that it's as little danger as posed by this one here. You've got a huge epidemic of child infant death syndrome on your hand. Wait a second. What are these statistics over here? Oh, it looks like America has the highest rate of infant death in the Western world. Oh, that's a head scratcher. Mate, I wonder why that is. Maybe it's because they're the only country in the world that's draconian enough to tell everybody that they need 50-plus vaccines to be put in their thing in order to develop an immune system as opposed to just eating fresh fruit and coloured vegetables that actually give you a healthy body and immune system. Maybe that has something to do with it. The connection between SIV and HIV resides in the official stories. Like any other good fairy tale, this one is set in a rainforest in southeast Cameroon. Cameroon. Sounds like a biscuit. Oh no, that's a macaroon. Where 80% of the meat eaten is, quote, bush meat. I can make a sexual reference there, but I'm not going to. The ingenious people consume a diet of gorilla, chimpanzee, or monkey. It is estimated that in excess of 30,000 gorillas are killed in Cameroon each year for their meat. Babila Tafon of the Ape Action Africa, or the AAA, formerly of the AAACP, a primate sanctuary claim... That was racist, wasn't it? Sorry. A primate sanctuary claims to have found a new virus in the apes arriving at the AAA. It is a simian, quote, foamy virus closely related to HIV, Tafon explains. A recent survey confirmed is now in humans, especially in some of those who are hunters and cutting up the apes in southeast of the country. Transfer of viruses from ape to human occur when the primate bites or scratches. However, some assert that eating primate meat, although cooked, is a transferable way for the new virus to reach humans. And they've been doing it for goodness knows how frickin' long and haven't developed a cancer epidemic there. Yet it's obviously transmitted through that. Is it? You know why? Okay. Because this never actually happened. It was just a theory that apes were biting people and so on and so forth. Okay. They weren't getting the virus that way. They were getting it through the vaccines. Okay. AIDS is the same thing. Allegedly, the first outbreaks of AIDS happened in three locations in South Africa simultaneously within 5 kilometers of a United States military bioweapons research lab. Okay? That sounds about right, doesn't it? A virus that is 50 times more likely to bond to your cells and your DNA if you're black. And South Africa has admitted that it was working on, quote, race-specific bioweapons. And many people have looked at AIDS viruses under the microscope and determined that there's no fucking way that this is a natural virus. Go figure. All right? So this gets into eugenics, doesn't it? Okay? The New World Order hates the African people. They hate anybody with a skin pigment that ain't bright, whiter than teeth. And it's really, really sick, you know. I do actually understand how bad this agenda is affecting black people specifically. I mean, you have a look at Planned Parenthood. They've aborted 80 million black babies. All right? You know what Planned Parenthood used to be called? You guessed it. The American Eugenics Society. Look it up. They changed their name after World War II because after World War II, eugenics had a bad name for some reason. You know? I wonder what that could have been. Maybe it was because a giant tyrannical regime was using it as their scientific methodology for why they could exterminate Jews and blacks and everybody else. Maybe that makes a little bit of sense. And who's on the board of Planned Parenthood again? Oh, wasn't it like Bill Gates' father? Kind of thing. And now Bill Gates is well behind them and well behind vaccines, giving them billions of his fortune of money that he basically made because he was a person who stole other people's ideas, like a psychopath would, you know. Oh my God, they look like ants down there. They are ants. These people are freaking sick, man. They're very scary. Whew. Professor Dominic Bowden, the director of the Cameroon Center. The Cameroons. I keep thinking of macaroons. I'm going to go get myself home. Wait a second. I'm going to probably get the missus to make me some fresh homemade macaroons. Yeah, if I could afford it. Which we can't. Blames the practice of eating bushmeat for the transfer of simian immunodeficiency virus, SIV. Simian immunodeficiency virus. Simian immunodeficiency virus. I love that word. I'm going to actually start using that in my daily word. You got to learn a new word a day. Otherwise, your vocabulary kind of gets stagnant and you keep using words like. Which then transmuted into HIV in humans. Oh, it transmuted. Oh, no. Transmutated. Sorry, that was my bad. Following the storyline of HIV came out of Africa, researchers at the Wilfred Hall United States Air Force Medical Center and San Antonio Medical Center have concluded that the people of African descent are more likely to have a genetic trait that makes them more susceptible to contracting the HIV virus. It's because it's a lie, and they're actually more susceptible to giving the AIDS, which they think is linked to the HIV, which is nothing. It's just a susceptibility to it, which the Africans have a 50 times more likelihood to be susceptible. Okay? It's pretty straightforward. In 60% of African Americans and 90% of Africans, a genetic trait was identified that made HIV 40% more prevalent than in Caucasians. Does soft kill bioweapon, race specific bioweapon mean anything to you now with statistics like that? 90% of Africans have a genetic trait that is identified that have. Okay? It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Wangari Maathai, a Kenyan ecologist and Nobel Peace Prize winner, says that HIV was created deliberately in a laboratory as a biological weapon. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Also, please go to the homepage there, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, and click donate or subscribe for a couple of dollars a month, either through the Kiwi Bank account there, or through PayPal if you've only got credit cards or something like that. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the final segment here, of the first hour at least. Now, from Press TV, let me see. Obama, Dempsey slapped down neocons on Syrian false flag. Why has the US postponed, even perhaps cancelled, its plan to attack Syria? Well, my sister posted me an article the other day on this saying that, Frank, who was it from? Let me see, did I actually have this here? Here we are. Real media blocks Obama's attempt at plunging nations into WW3. It's right there. I wish I could claim that I played a part in that. You know, I obviously played a part, but certainly not a significant role anyway. I wasn't breaking no real news here. Suzanne Poser was doing a lot of that. And she's got a lot of followers too. She's a very good lady. Okay, now, let me see. Sorry, I'm kind of out of breath. I've got this little exercise machine, like little cycling thingy in the lounge. So during the break, I put it up to the highest level, went hardcore for 1 minute, and hence the yeah. Basically, what the body does is it'll adapt to whatever conditions you put it into. So if you start exercising and you exercise at the highest levels or whatever for a very short period of time, your body will instantly start burning fat just to sort of attack that sort of thing. Because I realized that I was just getting really, really, really huge. Like I'm close to the heaviest that I've ever been in my life. I think the heaviest I was when I was in high school, I think I was about like 120 kilos and about the same height that I am now. And yeah, it's not good. I'm going to do something about that. During the show, if necessary, even if it makes me out of breath. Okay, let's talk about this. The mainstream media, led by the neocon Zionists and their allies, are spinning the story as a humiliating disaster for the US and Obama. The whole neocon choir is chanting the same propaganda talking points. By not enforcing his chemical weapons, quote, red line. Oh, this red line. I find it interesting how a closet communist has red lines. Obama has squandered prestige and credibility. He had no credibility. Obama having credibility. Oh, I've got more credibility than he has, and I don't even claim to have any. Not just his own, but also that of the presidency and the nation. Obama's refusal to attack Syria is not only a betrayal of the Syrian rebels, who are... incidentally, Al-Qaeda, which the US funded. Oh, they're betraying their secret black ops, bunch of people that they use to freak out the entire world whenever they want to stage a false flag or an attack on a country or something like that. They send in Al-Qaeda. They did it in Libya. They did it in Afghanistan. They do it everywhere. They've even got Al-Qaeda operatives like blowing up stuff in frickin' Iran at the moment, okay, which the mainstream media is keeping that well suppressed. I find it very interesting. Okay. But also a betrayal of Israel, who just discovered $700 billion of natural gas, conservatively. Who want to supply that natural gas to the Eastern Bloc of the European Union. And so do Syria and Iran and Russia, who are building a counter pipeline and so on and so forth in order to do that. So, yeah, it is a betrayal of Israel because, oh, you won't be able to sell your natural gas without competition with a complete total monopoly to the European Eastern Bloc. Oh, you poor suckers, Israel. Oh, you poor babies. Oh, let's just cry a tear of Israel, you know. Maybe it'll create some kind of Euphrates river. Oh, wait. Why aren't you attacking Syria yourself, Israel? Are Euphrates? That's a bad joke. I'll probably get the ADL or something like that out of me. You know, I'm not defaming Israel. I'm just saying that they're a bunch of corrupt scum that are controlled by the New World Order, just like everybody else. You know, we're on the same boat here, yo. The Israeli people that don't like what's happening. There's 8 million people or something protesting about it. Okay, so, look, there's a difference between America and the American people is just as different between Israel and the Israeli people Have you ever noticed that? Same difference between New Zealand and the New Zealand people? Very, very different. A government is not its people. A government is usually what prevents its people from having anything that they want. Invariably, unfortunately. The only nation on Earth whose leadership and population are united in the desire to seek a US attack on Syria. If America cannot attack Syria now, in the wake of a shocking story about a huge chemical weapons attack complete with photos of dead children, it may never be able to do so. Those chemical weapons, by the way, were potassium fluoride and sodium fluoride, which are a chemical weapon, which incidentally they put in the water supply and a whole bunch of moronic scum think that it's really good for you and it's in such a small dose that it's not that bad for you whatsoever. When even the... who was it? There was some dude who worked for the Cancer Society or something of that nature for a very long period of time, who's talked about this. Let me just see if I can find that. I posted it on somebody. Well, here we are. All right, I just found that on my desktop this morning, and one of my Facebook friends was talking about fluoride the other day, and I found this, and I thought, oh wow, he'd like this. Quote, in point of fact, fluoride causes more human cancer death and causes it faster than any other chemical. Dr. Dean Burke, PhD, 34 years at the National Cancer Institute. Let's put it in the water. Now, getting back to the Press TV article, for once, the neocons may not be entirely wrong. Obama, the presidency, and the USA, have indeed lost prestige. As if hosting a whole bunch of illegal wars, drone strikes, causing the financial crash, and copious quantities of scumbaggery worldwide with all the major evil US corporations like Monsanto didn't lose credibility there. Apparently not attacking somebody now is a lack of credibility. Wait, hold on a second. Have I got that right? I think I have. America's Syria policy, which lacks consistency and rationality, is indeed a disaster. But bombing Syria for al-Qaeda and its Saudi and Israeli sponsors would not solve the problem. On the contrary, it would be a wild, irrational gamble that could easily escalate into World War III. Obama's refusal to bomb Syria is indeed a, quote, betrayal of Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the al-Qaeda-led Syrian rebels. But that betrayal is richly deserved, for it was the Saudi-Israeli rebels who first betrayed Obama by staging the chemical weapons false flag in Ghouta. It is becoming increasingly clear that the rebels, not Assad, unleashed the chemical weapons. Their intention forced the US to bomb Syria. And Obama and his military chief, General Dempsey, not related to Patrick Dempsey, I'm sure, appear to be sending a message to the Israelis. Quote, you will not draw the U.S. into any more Mideast wars with your murderous false flag attacks. One of the other Israeli false flags was called 9/11, I guess. Accumulating... Wait, hold on a second. Israeli false flag? Mossad false flags. Let's get it right, okay? Intelligence agencies. You know what the origin of intelligence agencies are? It's when the queen or the king or something of a country decides that they would recruit a whole bunch of spies and stuff like that to do their dirty work, spy on their competition so they could kill them whenever they wanted to, and also know what they were up to, okay? And that evolved into what was called intelligence agencies. That's all they are, and they're still serving the elite of the world today. They're their most trusted servants. Why? Because they know the dirt on frickin' everybody. It's just that simple. Accumulating evidence shows that the Israelis and or Saudis and their rebel proxies were behind the chemical weapons attack in Ghouta, and here are some of the indications that it was the rebels, not the Syrian government, that launched the gas attack. Turkish prosecutors have indicted Syrian rebels for seeking chemical weapons. Russia Today reported Sunday, quote, the prosecutor of the Turkish city of Adana has issued a 132-page indictment alleging that six men of the al-Qaeda-linked al-Nusra Front and incorrect pronunciation there, the Ash-Sham, tried to seek out chemicals with the intent to produce the nerve agent sarin gas, a number of Turkish publications reported. Two former hostages of the Syrian rebels told the European media that they overheard their captors discussing the fact that they were not the Syrian government, were responsible for the chemical attack St Kilda. Okay, so it's all kind of coming out in the open now, and I do find that this is one of the things that they normally do for false flags: dead children, babies out of the incubators. You remember that story? Never freaking happened. Who was the young girl that testified in front of like U.S. Congress or something like that and was bawling into tears or something like that? Well, apparently she was like the daughter of some kind of Saudi royal or whatever, with a lot of acting experience. And yeah, he's a Hitler. Let's go get him. What time they got incredible weapons. How do y'all know that? Well, we looked at the receipt. But as soon as that check clears, we're going in. What time the bank open? 8? We're going in at 9. For God and country, and he's a Hitler and a fetus, you know, whatever you need. Whatever you, the apathetic, docile masses that need to get behind. Here's a fetus. Here's a fetus. Oh, look at the little fetus. He's a bad man. He's holding a little fetus. I hate this man all of a sudden. That's Bill Hicks there, ladies and gentlemen. Classic comedy. Great. And it's just as timely today as it was back then. We'll be right back at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com for the second hour.
Alert the masses!
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's hour number 2 of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. You can donate or subscribe at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y, because that's the most important question. And Eastwood doesn't go ahead, make my news. Look at it this way, ladies and gentlemen. If you support me, you basically support the rest of the activists and commentators, YouTube, whatever, by proxy, you know, because I let everybody come on the show. And I've just been thinking about, you know, I like to do one day a week where it's just me reading articles sort of thing, because the rest of the time you're just talking and giving other people a platform. And, you know, frankly, there's a lot of news to get down. And I haven't really been covering really news per se for like years of doing the show. I've mostly just been getting activists on. Occasionally news comes up, but most of it's just new information, which in my opinion, if it's new to you, it's freaking news, isn't it? Okay, speaking of getting to the news, I wanted to read out that article about how the real media blocked Obama's attempt at plunging nations into World War III. This is by Anthony Gudiardi. Gudiardi. That's an awesome name. The real media has now emerged in the first place. Oh, sorry. In the place of the depleted mainstream media machine, and has successfully blocked plans by Obama and his handlers to plunge the international community into a hot World War III scenario. And top advisors are on record admitting it. In a truly powerful augmentation of history, spreading the word over staged events like the Syrian chemical attacks has ultimately forced the Obama administration and its affiliates to push back their plans to launch military action. I think this is a bit of a theory. You know, I mean, I would like that to be the case. I'd just like to see some evidence that it's actually the alternative media that are causing this reversal to happen, and not the huge frickin' insanity that has been kicked up by people from all over the place, and the huge amount of the American people who don't want the war, and so on and so forth. You know, to say it's just the alternative media, it's a bit arrogant. Maybe. If it is the case, on the other hand, you know, woohoo. But, you know, I've become cynical over the years. Only a few years it took me. Because every time that the New World Order pushes the envelope, if we push it back, they start pushing it some more when we're not looking. It's what happens every single time. And, you know, they've already been involved in Syria for goodness knows how long, supporting the Al-Qaeda rebels and so on and so forth. So what difference does it make? Action in Syria that has admitted by the mega media has much more to do with instigating a hot war with Russian forces who continue to back Assad. Ultimately, by disseminating this information to what amounts to millions worldwide, we have also delivered talking points and analysis to prominent figures like Ron Paul and Pat Buchanan. And what amounts to both a very responsibility and massive reach. These top analysts were going on record highlighting the same points that I have been covering since the onset of the Syrian madness, articles that have been shared like wildfire throughout social media and uniquely viewed by several millions, and the decomposing mainstream media simply can't figure out how it's done. It's probably because we tell the truth and people actually want to hear the truth once they've got a taste for it. If they have a taste for BS, on the other hand, that's kind of what they like. You know, you can see it sort of dribbling down the chin. You know, they haven't wiped their face properly. You've got the BS all over their face. I have had mainstream journalists inquire as to how we can actually influence history, policy, headlines around the world through platforms like StoryLeak.com. We are the media. The answer, quite simply, is that we are now the only media. You know, I actually have to agree with that statement. Because media is supposed to serve the people, supposed to tell the truth, supposed to ask questions. And the so-called mainstream media haven't done that for, I don't know, how long has it been? How long has it been since the mainstream media has actually been telling the truth and being on the people's side? Have they ever? Or has it always been a tool of the corporate scumbaggery to control the public consciousness? I think it's closer to that, don't you think? There's no longer the need to play into the psychological minefield of labelling certain sources alternative news, when we can go back to the leading Gallup polls and show that virtually no one trusts the mainstream media, and that's bad news for the six corporations that own 90% of the mainstream media. It's like, talk about building your house on sand. Oh my God, we've got mainstream media. We can own it all. Yeah, let's spend billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of dollars on stuff that nobody trusts and nobody listens to. What you gonna do with your money then, motherfracker? There's a reason that former U.S. National Security Advisor and Trilateral Commission co-founder Zbigniew Brzezinski, the other co-founder was David Rockefeller, by the way. In fact, here's a Rockefeller quote for you. It came out of his memoirs, actually a book called Memoirs that he wrote. It was obvious what it was about. And let's look at conspiracy, ladies and gentlemen. Look, conspiracy is a secret agreement between people, all right, to harm another group of people. It's not a conspiracy if it's not secret, okay? In David Rockefeller's book Memoirs, he admits that he's part of a secret cabal working to destroy the United States and create a new world order. Here's a direct quote from his book, page at 405. What kind of voice does David Rockefeller speak in?
Is it like this? Like a demon voice? Let's just read it out like that. It'll be funny. For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will, if that's the charge, I stand guilty. And I am proud of it.
David Rockefeller. Thank you, David.
You're welcome, Vinny. Great show.
Yeah, cheers, bro. Frack off.
Okay.
All right. I can be quite funny when I need to be. All right. Anyway, back to the big new Brzezinski. I call them the little old Brzezinski because he's not big and he's not new. Says that there's a global political awakening placing a wrench in the wheel of the war machine. And quite frankly, we are driving that wrench harder than ever into the tank of the warmongering elite. As a result, they are becoming desperate and resorting to censoring real journalism through defining what a journalist is. But the fact is that as long as we continue to sound the alarm, there's a lot of spelling mistakes in this article, by the way, bro. Just saying. We will continue to see massive victory across the board. You know, just as long as somebody's got you know, decent information and what have you. But, you know, I don't think that the alternative media is really the only thing that you can point to say that, oh, we've really pushed these scoundrels back, haven't we? You know, I don't think so. Anyway, on to the next article. Pentagon prepping for, quote, large-scale economic breakdown. This is a old theme and written by the same guy, Anthony Gugliardi. High-level government documents reveal that the Pentagon is preparing in full force for large-scale economic meltdown and massive result via the U.S. public. Exactly what we are criticized for doing. You see, the Pentagon and agencies like the Department of Defense, DOD, are in full-scale emergency readiness, in their own words, for cataclysmic events that are believed to ultimately ignite riots in the face of chaos and economic collapse, because they love order out of chaos, okay? You ever look at the rites of Freemasonry, there's like a little quote or something, or one line after each degree, all the way up to 33. And the 33rd degree, quote, is order out of chaos, ordo ab chao. And that's what they love to do. It's the old problem reaction solution thing, okay? You create the chaos, then you come in and restore order, and everybody thinks you're a fracking savior, when in actual fact, you were the frack that fracked them in the first fracking place. Hate these people. And it's one of the reasons that we're seeing such a massive amount of spying on activists of all kinds, alternative news writers and personalities, and basically anyone preparing for themselves. I guess I'd probably be included in that list. The US government is dedicated to logging such information into a major database in order to prepare for the coming collapse that they are predicting in their own documents for all to see. Collapse predictions that have turned into, quote, war games by the Pentagon, which in 2010 were orchestrated to prepare for what the Pentagon dubbed large-scale economic breakdown and the disappearance of essential services like food. You try getting some freeze-dried food, ladies and gentlemen. No, seriously, go to any of the major freeze-dried food manufacturers. You'll be on a waiting list for a long time. And a long time. Months. Years, even. Because the government's come in and bought it all. I wonder why. In this same war games exercise dedicated to domestic response, exercises were ran in order to prepare for domestic order amid civil unrest. Military to stop domestic resistance. A thread that is seen throughout these tests is the concept that civil unrest will unfold and prompt military action against the public. One of the largest examples of this is the US Army Strategic Studies Institute paper that talks about the threat of domestic crises that are expected to lead to massive unrest throughout the nation, spurring more paranoia into the notion that, quote, every citizen is a terrorist. The report starts talking about everything from economic collapse to a loss of functional political order brought upon by a hostile group within the United States that could access weapons. In such scenarios, the report discusses how the Department of Defense would then be forced by circumstances to come in and stop purposeful domestic resistance or insurgency. And interestingly enough, there's been two very strange and very interesting movies come out, one called Olympus Has Fallen and one called White House Down. Now, I remember a couple of years back, there was a movie called Deep Impact and a movie called Armageddon come out at the same time, you know, like asteroids and what have you. And then comes out in the news that, oh, there's this asteroid heading towards us and so on and so forth, and it went past us and whatever. And now they're talking, they're making these White House Down movies and talking about domestic insurgency, the main characters of which in both White House movies were insiders who were very close to the president, who betrayed him and allowed other dangerous Americans and foreign interests to come in and try and take over the frickin' White House and destroy the country. And so I think that these are propaganda films, essentially designed to demonize any kind of American domestic insurgency. Right. And here's the interesting thing. If Americans were to indeed rise up against their government, as I believe they probably should, preferably non-violently, by stopping paying their taxes, stopping supporting their corporations by eating their fast food, and, you know, perhaps stop watching their media, and basically, you do everything directly opposite to what the mainstream American lifestyle connotes. That's basically it. That's what you have to do if you're an American. That's what you have to do as a New Zealander. New Zealand lifestyle. What's this? Oh, well, you know, you go, you get a slave job, you work real hard, get a quarter acre section, you have some kids, and then you retire. You can't do that, man. You really can't do that. You can't work for a future that doesn't exist. All right, I'm not going to say that now. You can't work for a future that doesn't exist. If you think that you're going to be free in the next 20, 30 years or whatever, if you just go to work, keep your head down, and not get involved, you know, listening to shows like this, that's waking up, okay? But after you wake up, you generally have to get out of bed, don't you? Don't you? Most of us don't want to get out of bed. We're okay to wake up, you know, the alarm goes off, you know, with, oh my God, they're trying to destroy us. The New World Order taking over, you know, that kind of thing. Everybody likes a wake-up call, but not everybody likes to get out of bed. And eventually you're going to need a cold bucket of water chucked over you like I have and many others before you realize it. You know what? I can't stand idly by doing my own thing while the country and the world collapses around me. We need you badly to get involved and take the fight to the enemy. There's a psychological war going on, a very, very hardcore one that is being fought with information, with love, with creativity, and integrity. If you're not willing to get on the front lines, or if you're not willing to support those who are already on the front lines from the rear, heaven help you. Because once all of this stuff gets into place, if we don't stop it, it's game over, Red Rover. There will be nothing you can do. They'll just turn your chip off and you starve to death. Okay? You don't want that. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. I hope you like a jumping tune. I want to jump it. Driving and I won't stop, and it feels
to let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations. Have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under
my... Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's Vinnie with a Y, because it's the most important question. It's the lighter side of genocide, because the world's so full of chaos and madness. If you lose a sense of humour, you'll go frickin' nuts. 13 killed in US Navy base shooting. I probably should have led with this article, didn't I? You know, because this is like a... Ooh. What's interesting is this woman who's calling me a conspiracy theorist, and... Then she comes out talking about this article about 13 killed in a US Navy base shooting, calling it a false flag. So I'm a conspiracy theorist, but she's not, even if she calls stuff a false flag. I give up. Blocked. Retard. Hey, don't you love doing that on Facebook? You know, somebody's a douche. You know, just a complete and utter knob and isn't worth your frickin' time. You could just block them and you never hear from the scum again. That's good. Police say two suspected shooters still at large and one deceased after 12 people were gunned down in Washington. Now, isn't it interesting? This happens on a military base. Did anybody shoot back? Did anybody shoot? I wonder. Is that an Al Jazeera? 13 people, including one shooter, have died after a shooting spree at the U.S. Navy Yard in Washington, officials said. Washington being a gun ban zone and the murder capital of America because it's a gun ban zone. Because nobody can defend themselves against murderers. I wonder if the naval complex was also a gun ban zone. Interesting. Police were searching the Navy complex to track down the gunman involved in the attack on Monday morning. Police Chief Kathy Lanier said one shooter had been killed and that two other suspects, a white and a black male, were still at large. There's a white guy and black male. She said the suspects were not believed to be military personnel but were wearing uniforms. Al Jazeera's Kimberly Hellcat, reporting from the scene, said that there was an enormous police presence in the vicinity of the Navy Yard after the attack. Two helicopters were flying over the complex and roads were blocked. Thousands of employees were initially told to stay inside the complex while multiple SWAT teams searched for the shooters. The Navy said the first shots were fired at 8:20 a.m., in the headquarters building of the Naval Sea Systems Command, where about 3,000 people work. I'm surprised it didn't get controlled demolition and get turned into dust. You know, you love false flags. But then again, let's say it was genuine. Okay. Who's genuinely stupid enough to dress up in military garb and go attack a military base by yourself? Who's freaking crazy enough to do that? Nobody? Really? It's just like, unless, of course, you were on some kind of psychotropic medications or whatever that made you go nuts and think it was a good idea because you're just totally, completely out of your freaking mind, whacked out on pills. Fortress. Quote, "We heard some sounds. We didn't know what it was. We had people running in the hallways. And we told everybody to evacuate a couple of minutes later." Tim Gyrus, a naval commander who was in the building as shooting erupted, told Al Jazeera. "The fire alarm inside the building went off, which was a way to get everybody outside the building into the sights of the awaiting gunman, of course." This is probably why so many people got killed, because instead of like security on the base going to the armory, getting some AR-4 carbines or some stuff, blowing the fracas away, they go, "Oh my god, there's shooters outside. Let's get everybody out of the building so that there's no barrier between them and the gunman, so that they can be more easily shot." That's a brilliant freaking idea, isn't it? It's the same thing with the school shootings and stuff like that. "Oh my god, there's a school shooter. What do we do? Huddle together in the classrooms close together so that you can all be more easily shot easily by a freaking gunman." All right. Gosh, the American public has gotten so dumbed down. It's unbelievable. Al Jazeera's Rosalind Jordan in Washington described the attack as, quote, shocking, since the Navy complex... I'm being relatively insensitive about this, aren't I? Sorry. Since the Navy complex is a high-security facility. It's a fortress, she said. How did these guys get in there if it's a freaking fortress? If they're not already military personnel with clearance so that they get let in and so on and so forth? It's a fortress with armed people running around? How did they not get popped within seconds? You know? These are the questions I want to ask. Adding that the staff need to present ID cards to get in and that cars are checked to get access to the complex grounds. The complex is located right next to residential buildings, businesses and schools, she added. Todd Brundage, an executive assistant with Navy Sea Systems Command, said he and other co-workers encountered a gunman in a hallway of their building on the third floor. The gunman was wearing all blue, he said. He just turned and started firing, Brundage said. Flights at Reagan National Airport were temporarily halted to enable helicopters to transfer injured to hospital. Janice Orlowski, a hospital spokeswoman at MedStar, Washington Medical Center, said the hospital was treating two civilians and one police officer who were in critical condition with gunshot wounds. President Barack H. O'Barry pledged to do everything possible to make sure whoever was responsible for the attack was held responsible. Whoever's responsible will be held responsible. Really? The people who are responsible will be responsible. Is that like the tall people will be made tall? I mean, what? Vocabulary people will be held accountable. Or will be brought to justice. Those are the cliche lines, Obama. You should know that. Oh, yeah, you probably don't know that because you didn't have a teleprompter telling you to say it at the time. He said the victims were courageous Americans who knew about the risks of serving overseas but would have not expected such unimaginable violence at home. How is it unimaginable? Ever hear of Waco, Texas? Where the ATF set the freaking compound on fire and burned men, women, and children to death? How is this unimaginable? This is kiddie stuff by comparison to what the US government has done to people, which makes me suspect that the people doing this kind of shooting are probably US government agents. But of course, they won't come out in the mainstream media. But this is just my suspicion based on no evidence. And unfortunately, those suspicions are normally proved correct. You know, that's the unfortunate business of it, isn't it? Naval Sea Systems Command builds, buys, and maintains the Navy's ships and submarines and their combat systems. It is the largest of the Navy's five system commands and accounts for a quarter of the Navy's entire budget. The Navy Yard complex is located 1.6 kilometers south of the U.S. Capitol. It includes a museum and the residence of the Chief of Naval Operations, among other buildings. Now, isn't that the exact same Naval Command building that is built in the shape of a giant swastika? Is this the same building I'm thinking of? I think it is. So in Washington, D.C., you've got giant Masonic phallic symbol called the Washington Monument, a gargantuan boob called Congress, which is incidentally full of boobs. It looks like a boob too, doesn't it? Just making the funny reference there, I'm sorry. And what else have you got? You got the layout of the city itself is on a giant pentagram. The Pentagon is a pentagram. And you got a giant swastika for the Naval Command Building. And it's got more Masonic lodges per square foot than any other country in the world. Than any other city in the world, sorry. And it's also the murder capital rate of the world. And do you see what I'm getting at here? I mean, maybe these things are totally unrelated. But still stands to reason that the copious quantities of scumbaggery going down, especially with lobbyists in town. All right. On to the next one. Coming back to New Zealand now, from Scoop Independent News from SciTech. Science advisor challenged on, quote, misleading climate report. Ah, yes, here we go. The Prime Minister's chief science advisor challenged on misleading climate report, Professor Sir Peter Gluckman. Oh, my God. Gluckman's everywhere. This scum. All right. I'm probably going to get surveilled by the GCSB and the State Intelligence Services and the New Zealand Police for saying this. Sir Peter Gluckman is scum. He is a evil person. He is a liar. Every time anything comes up, big pharmaceutical companies getting shamed because their pharmaceutical drugs that they give to kids causes the kids to commit murder-suicides. Who do they call? You guessed it. Sir Peter Gluckman. Fluoride starts giving people cancer and they wind up getting it out of the water because a bunch of reasoned doctors and dentists managed to convince the council that it's actually really, really bad for you and it's freaking toxic waste. Who do they call in? You guessed it. Sir Peter Gluckman. Misleading climate change reports and so on and so forth that are being exposed and they're destroying the New World Order apparatus and their ability to carbon tax everybody and control every single aspect of your life. Who do they call in to defend it? You guessed it. Sir Peter Gluckman. He is a fracking scumbag of the highest order. He's an evil, psychopathic scum. I hate him very much. He's been challenged by a group of scientists and engineers who have expressed their concern about the nature of his report, quote, New Zealand's changing climate and oceans, the impact of human activity and implications for the future, submitted in July 2013. The 12 signatories, all members of the New Zealand Climate Science Coalition. Now, Climate Science Coalition? Well, it sounds more like a coalition of the willing or a coalition of lying frickin' scumbags that are being paid by the establishment to produce and spew propaganda so that people can have justification for passing draconian legislation that will control every single aspect of your life because there's not a single human activity that doesn't produce carbon dioxide that you can control. Did I say that fast enough? I think I did. In an open letter to Sir Peter, have expressed concern at three aspects. Firstly, the timing and purpose of the report. With the next summary for policymakers from the UN International Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, and I remember back in like 2009 or 2008, I think it was, we encountered these climate cultists. Oh, we encountered these climate cultists on Queen Street, and they're wearing polar bear outfits. Assaulted a friend of mine in them, of course, because I got anonymity. I love it. And I asked them, do you know what the IPCC is? Okay, there's people working for Greenpeace, getting signatures for climate change and so on and so forth to give to John Key. And he goes, no, you know, like he's proud of not knowing. Nope. These people have no idea. All right. The people who push climate change don't even know what a climate is. They don't even know what the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change is. They don't know anything. Okay? Which is perfect. Lenin called them useless idiots. Oh, no. That's what I call them. Lenin called them useful idiots. Because they're idiots, but you can still use them to push across your scumbaggery agenda. Can't you, Mr. Gluckman? Due later in September, asking Sir Peter.
Sir Peter. Yes, Sir Peter. Oh, yes.
Why he would try to preempt it with information and hypothesis based on an IPCC report now 7 years old. Not only 7 years old, but almost every single aspect of it has been proven wrong, and nearly every single scientist of the 5,000 or so that was part of it, I think about 4,500 of them quit in disgrace because they took all of their stuff out of context and lied through their fracking teeth. I really don't like these people. They're very, very evil. We are perplexed by a report which purports to be independent but draws only on information related to one hypothesis, that of the anthropogenic nature of the source of climate change. For the last 2 years, two issues have preoccupied climate science. Many published papers have devoted years to considering to both the pause in the trend in global average temperature and to climate sensitivity. Both issues are essential. That the global average temperature has not increased in the last 17 years means that hypothesis that increasing carbon dioxide in the atmosphere increases global average temperatures is incorrect, or the climate sensitivity to CO2 is grossly overestimated. The report pays little attention to those issues, the group says. Secondly, they question the language of the report, in particular the use of phrasing. They will say and will mislead and will direct many to an alarming conclusion they claim is not justified by clear and direct evidence. Statements and conclusions of a political nature have no place in a report that purports to be a submission of scientific evidence. Thirdly, the group says that sources of information used for the report represent only one viewpoint in the debate about climate change. We are concerned that there appears to have been no endeavour to source information from those who do not accept such a viewpoint and who can offer credible evidence to the contrary. We believe this to be a bias unbecoming of what should be an impartial report. Thank you! In detail, the group confines its comments to four areas of concern: the New Zealand temperature record, sea level, ocean acidification, and extreme weather events. All right. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the final segment here on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Okay. Toxicologists wary of adding medical properties to wine. That's an interesting one, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Now, I do think that there's a little bit of a danger here because we seem to be putting additives in everything, don't we? We have a caller on the line that's... Kyle in Philly, you're on the air. What can I do for you, bro?
I was going to talk about the global warming and how the story you were just referring to, the science being junk, as we've all known.
You know, actually, it's funny you should mention that because I've got like, I didn't even quite finish reading that article. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? I really hate these climate change cultists. And I think I might spend an extra segment on it. So you've given me the excuse I need. What do you got to say about it, Kyle?
Well, I mean, everything from the hypothesis to the backing to the science is garbage, and it's a microcosm of how the New World Order does business. I mean, you fund the research that you want that has the outcome that you desire. You don't fund the research that you don't want to have proven. And it's, you know, if you're able to prove that somehow human activity is detrimental to the Earth, well, then you can control all human activity. By the same token, you get laws passed, you get taxes passed. You don't have to do anything to say the problem's gone. All you have to do is change your outcome and start going to the other science. It's everything that is wrong with science today. You know, like I said, the science that you want to succeed is funded. The science you don't want to feed is repressed.
Not entirely dissimilar from the truth being suppressed from people who say part of Scientology or something.
Well, that idea could be, you know, displayed across the board from vaccines to GMO to, you know, all kinds of different areas. And, you know, the simple fact that these guys have been caught over and over and over again, and their complex reason for why climate isn't changing or why it should change keeps getting more and more complex, while the people who say, no, CO2 isn't doing any harm, they've been the same for 20 years now.
Well, I was just thinking about this over the break. It's like I find it interesting how they get this somebody called Gluckman, because it sounds remarkably like Gluck, man, you know, for Gluck's sake. Well, I don't know how many of these people are even talking about this for. I mean... they can't have any credibility because they've basically never had any. I mean, from day dot, this frack has come out just basically pushing establishment lines on things that have just been proven over and over again, as you've so eloquently stated, Kyle, that are complete BS, have no basis in reality, and there are definite, clear beneficiaries of these types of policies that are linked to this type of scientific research. Now, these people out here that have put an open letter, there's a bunch of people, and I actually want to get all these doctors online here, especially this guy, Dr. Willem de Lange. He's a senior lecturer in the Earth and Ocean Sciences at the University of Waikato. I've seen him speak before. He's quite onto it. But they had these five questions, Kyle, if I may. Number one, why was information for the report sourced only from those to be known proponents of anthropogenic global warming and no information sought from reputable sources with offer alternative evidence?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty substantial question, don't you think? Why does the report place such weight on the projections from climate change models, which are demonstrably inaccurate and have never been validated against real data? Three, why is the evidence that the world has not warmed over the past 17 years largely been ignored? It provides extremely strong evidence that substantial increases in CO2 do not produce dangerous global warming. Number four, why does the report include alarmist and misleading statements on the topics of sea level, ocean acidification, and the number of extreme weather events that are not supported by the evidence? And lastly, why is a report that purports to be advice of scientific evidence couched in blatant and misleading political terms? Yeah. Here's my answer to all of those questions, because they're completely and utterly full of crap.
Earth, and we were very lucky in 2010 when it came to this debate. In 2010, there was a volcano in Iceland, which I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce its name.
But I think it goes something like
this volcano released more CO2 into the atmosphere than the sum of human activity in recorded history. So one volcano, more CO2 than all human activity in the course of recorded history. Absolutely no change whatsoever. For me, anybody who's any denier, anybody who has any doubt about climate being affected by CO2, all you need to do is point to that one simple fact. And there's all of your evidence. If the climate change, global warming proponents were correct and they were right, then theoretically right now, we should all be swimming in the ocean and Denver should be an island and the whole world should be over and Kevin Costner should have gills swimming in the ocean for something. It's all BS.
Yeah. And every single time you turn around, there's just another one of these pathetic scum doing it. And what frustrates me is that not only, big ups to scoop.co.nz. I mean, this news site had been brave enough to publish this article. But bear in mind, you know how many likes this article has, bro? Eight likes. Oh. You know how many tweets it's got? Two tweets. Okay. Nobody's read it. All right, that's the reason why the climate change phenomenon just keeps going on and on and on and on, is because the people who should be reading the freaking evidence and reading the articles that actually expose the fraud are not being widely publicized. This is not front page. This was sent to me by one of my friends via email this morning, Kyle. Okay, it's just, see, you and I, we already know this, so we're very likely to come across these type of articles because we've got friends and family and so on and so forth that might be the same similar persuasion. But the problem is this doesn't get out to those people who are so, it's almost like reverse redneckism, you know what I'm saying? It's like they've got, it's like hippies that have shotguns or something. It's crazy.
Well, it's okay, you're a guy, you're up at 7 o'clock in the morning, you got to be at work by 8:30, maybe you're in the kitchen, you're getting a coffee, the Today Show is on, and they've got David Mayer D. Rothschild on there talking about his boat made out of plastic bottles, and he's doing it for global climate change, and what a hero he is. Well, that's it. You're gone. You're out the door. You're not going to take the time to sit back and say, or research and look at the fact that Rothschilds are setting up a climate change carbon tax bank in Australia, and that they clearly have benefits that will be in their pockets if they're able to prove man-made global warming. And like you said, it's just that surface knowledge, and that, you know, I hear what's presented in front of me, but on my day-to-day life, I don't have the time or the will or even the knowledge to want to seek deeper into these issues.
How can we stop this? And the answer is, I mean, it's a long, protracted battle, isn't it? You know, we can't just say, oh, look, you guys are a fraud and produce evidence. It doesn't work that way, does it? You can't just produce evidence and intelligence and logical argument to these people. It actually has to be, you know, I hate to say it, they almost have to be counter-brainwashed, like have it repeated to them a million times or something before they accept it without question. And then the irony is that they'll just be duped by whatever else the next thing is that gets repeated to them over and over again, because they never learn to think for themselves. And that's the problem with university these days, and in a lot of cases, is that they're not teaching critical thinking. You know, they're teaching people to be critical, of course, of people who can think, but not critical thinking.
There's no classical education being given anymore. People are told to read a book and memorize what happened in the book and take a test on what happened in the book. And there's no discussions about, okay, why is this book important? What are the themes in this book? How does it apply to life today? And the sad thing is that even if we do defeat climate change this go around, even if we do have the ability to completely discredit like we already have, and we're able to shut down all carbon taxes all over the world in 15 or 20 years, they'll be back again. And it'll be the same thing. There'll be one bad storm, or there'll be a Hurricane Katrina somewhere, and it'll be right back in the news that this is, you know, evidence of scientists being right 25 years ago. So it's something that needs to be integrated into our culture. You know, it needs to be something that is everybody on the front of everybody's mind, and everybody knows, just like they know, you know, who the judges on American Idol are.
Yeah. And this gets to the point where it's like, this is one issue, one of, I don't know, would you say we've currently got in our heads thousands or millions of different issues that we know a little bit about? Maybe millions?
We could do an entire show just listing off issues of things that are presented to us and are detrimental to the human society. But,
you know, that reminds me, I wanted to do a rap song, and in the rap song there won't be any lyrics, there won't be any rhymes, it will just be a list of things that people need to research, you know, a list of topics. And I think it'll be like a half-hour long rap song, like climate change, police state, false flag terrorism, chemical weapons, AIDS, so on and so forth. You know, it's just innumerable, and you really can't cover them all. And I think that's something that is really daunting to people. Because, look, you've spent how long? How long in elementary school? How long in high school? How long in university or whatever? And it took you, what, 25 years or whatever to figure out that it was all BS? And you think that suddenly you're going to unlearn all of that and learn what the truth is in just a couple of years, and then you can go out and start convincing everybody of the truth? Hell no. You need to deprogram first and then actually program yourself with some useful information. Otherwise, you'll end up like a climate change model where it's garbage in, garbage out, all over again. Kyle, thank you very much for your call. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. And we will see you again tomorrow on the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Please go to the homepage, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. I don't have enough money to pay the rent this week, so I need about $100 for that. And I need about $80 in gas to get down to Hamilton, because they're having a big fluoride conference there. And I need about $120 to fix up my car as well, so that will be possible. So I need about maybe $300-$400 give or take, just to make it through this week and do the important work. We'll see you again sometime.